Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Good morning, and it is Monday. That means it's 10 o'clock. Well, I mean, it doesn't mean it's 10 o'clock. It is 10 o'clock, which means it's time for the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. This is a topic that is also very important to me. I've had some wonderful friends that have survived breast cancer. I've heard some incredible stories also over the last couple of weeks, and we are looking forward to chatting with Dr. Liat Malik. She is a healthcare practitioner specializing as a radiologist and as a breast imaging specialist. Let us have your questions on 061-895-1019. The information that we're going to discuss is going to be vital. It's important, and it can really help those keep ourselves safe medically. You know, I'm wanting to say, Sina, that you know, this could save your life. So it really could. And as always, I'm joined in our awesome studio by the man on the buttons, as Benji says, Craig Guthrie, looking very fresh with his haircut, and my wonderful producer who puts up with me, Sina Pabetsi. That is your show for this morning.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's just gone 8 minutes past 10. You are listening to 101.9 Chai FM. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday with me, Nicholas Ingle. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, or October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we are chatting to Dr. Liat Malik, and she is a healthcare practitioner specializing as a radiologist and as a breast imaging specialist. We're talking breast cancer. We're going to be discussing the myths around breast cancer, detection, tests, what you need to do to keep yourself safe. So let us have your questions on our in-studio WhatsApp number, 061-895-1019. Let's cross to the doctor. Dr. Malik,
good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for bringing awareness to the next month that's coming up, which is the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which is a topic that's very close to my heart. It's what I've dedicated my life in trying to do and diagnose as early as possible. And I think you were quite right in presenting it as possibly potentially saving, and definitely will save, many people's lives. So thank you for having me.
It's such an important topic, and we gratefully appreciate you making time to chat to us as well. It is, early detection is vital, awareness is vital, education is vital. What are the steps that people can follow in terms of protecting themselves from breast cancer?
Well, first of all, is just being aware that breast cancer is the second most common cancer in women, and it occurs in 1 in 8 women. So the statistics are high, and they're against us. One of the myths, as you alluded to, we're going to discuss that, I'm sure, but later. But one of the myths is that only if you've got a family history of breast cancer will you develop breast cancer. But I'd like to start off by saying that that is not true. And most women, 75% of women that develop breast cancer, do not have a family history of breast cancer. Sure. So it's important to be aware that this is a very common cancer. Knowing what the symptoms are and what to look forward to and what we can do in order to diagnose it as early as possible. Because we know that with every cancer, all cancers, the earlier they are diagnosed, the better the treatment, the better the outcome, your life can potentially be saved. So the first thing is identifying women that are at high risk. Yes. We can go into that in a little bit. And then the general population, so the average woman should start screening with mammography, that is imaging of the breasts, at the age of 40. And this should continue on an annual basis until the age of 75.
Right.
And then also once a month, every woman should feel her breasts and check herself out. So we're looking for things like lumps, nipple discharge, changes to the skin, skin dimpling, discoloration. Always feel under the arms as well for any lumps that could potentially mean that there's a lymph node there. So those are the most important things that we can do. And that's, I think, what the main focus of the Breast Cancer Awareness Month is, for women to know what their risks are and know what to do in terms of screening.
Right. When did Breast Cancer Month become a thing? When did it start? What was the driving force behind that?
I think for educational purposes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the main issue is that women's health has always been sort of on the back foot. It's yes. always been men's health. And, you know, there's always been other reasons why, you know, women's health has been pushed down to the bottom. And so as woman empowerment and, you know, the feminism movement has grown, so has the knowledge that women need to be aware of how important it is for them to know about breast cancer and to start diagnosing it early and to seek screening for it.
Right.
So that is essentially it. It's for educational purposes and to raise awareness of the importance of this.
What are the critical points to focus on in terms of education? We've spoken about sort of the looking for early detection, running through the test, self-examination. Are there other areas that need to be, that knowledge needs to be shared?
So I think around the age of 25, all women should start to consider the health of their breasts, and they should seek the advice of their general practitioner regarding what their risk status is. So at that point, one can stratify how high risk the woman is mm-hmm. for developing breast cancer. Otherwise, knowing her body and examining herself on a monthly basis and seeking early screening, which is with mammography from the age of 40, that's really all that women need to do. And
right. If we look at the advantages of early detection, if we're doing a monthly check, if something is picked up within,
not a monthly check. A yearly check.
The yearly yeah. check. The monthly check in terms of the self-examination.
Oh, okay.
If something is detected, how soon usually is something detected if it's with the monthly checks?
Okay, so let's just go back. So screening, when we do x-rays of the breast, which is what mammography is, you are trying to find architectural distortions, small tiny masses, things that are not palpated. So they are right. not things that can be picked up by the woman herself when she feels her breasts. And that is what early detection is,
okay.
when you've detected a breast cancer even before the woman herself has palpated it or felt something, or that it's caused an abnormality in her. And that is what we want. We want to achieve that a woman will come in for no reason whatsoever. Mm-hmm. She doesn't feel anything, but she's coming for her annual checkup. And we then discover that there is something going on in the breast that we then need to evaluate further. A woman that feels a lump, obviously we want to try and feel, you know, we want to try and diagnose it as early as possible. So if mm-hmm. she's feeling her breasts on a, you know, on a monthly basis, she should feel it as small as possible. But unfortunately, that's not what happens.
Right.
And, you know, most women don't really, most of us actually are not 100% sure how to feel and what to do. And so really the best way to screen and for early detection is to get your early mammogram.
So that sort of answered the question, because the self-examination is not an alternate to screening.
Not at all. In fact, by the time you felt something, mm-hmm. it could have probably been picked up by a screening mammogram years before.
Right. Okay. That was the question. Fantastic.
So look, I mean, in terms of looking at the mortality and the you know, and the incidence of breast cancer, the breast cancer incidence increases substantially around the age of 40, and it increases between the age of 45 and 60. So those are the demographics of women that we need to screen annually, and we and finding early detection or finding a breast cancer as early as possible reduces the need for aggressive surgeries, for the, you know, for the more invasive type of treatments that are involved.
Doctor, can we touch on that a little bit in terms of early, very early detection? What are the treatments? A little bit later, what are the treatments and so on?
Yes, absolutely. So first of all, we need to understand that breast cancer is not just one disease. So the scientific studies and the advancement in breast cancer understanding is that we are able to now look at the DNA of the breast cancer. And depending on the type of breast cancer, there are different types of treatment. So it's not, you know, one size fits all, depending on the type of breast cancer, and then also depending on the stage of breast cancer, will there be, you know, treatment advised. The main thing for, I think also important to understand is, or to know, is that there's a multidisciplinary approach to breast cancer treatment. So again, it's not just the cancer DNA, it's not just what type of specific breast cancer you've got, but it also takes into consideration many other factors. So it is something that gets discussed on a panel with multiple experts, surgeons, oncologists, and the radiologists, amongst others, to decide the best treatment going forward for the particular type of cancer. In general, the best way to treat, in fact, the only way to treat any cancer, or the one way that one has to treat cancer, should I put it that way, is by surgery. So surgery is definitive. You want to remove those cells that are causing the damage in your body. So one way or another, there'll always have to be surgery involved in treatment of breast cancer. And then depending on the type of cancer, you would add things like chemotherapy, radiation therapy, hormone therapy, and there are a few other more specialized things that we can do.
Right. In terms of access to the screening, where we have segments of our population that perhaps don't have access to private healthcare, is the government healthcare infrastructure at the moment able to cope with looking after all of the women that would need this treatment? Or need the testing? Okay.
Unfortunately, not in our setting. Really, we are very far behind what we need to achieve in South Africa with regard to screening and even treatment.
Right.
So we don't have enough surgeons to actually deal with the burden of breast cancer, and what it would mean if we had to screen the population. And that's why we don't really have a screening program in South Africa. Is that there's just the burden of this would just be too much for our infrastructure in South Africa.
I'd like to chat a little bit more about that when we come back from our ad break, and we also have a question from our listener. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offer convenient and professional care to you to manage your health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday, 10:22 a.m. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday here on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I'm chatting with Dr. Liat Malik, who is a healthcare practitioner specializing in as a radiologist and as a breast imaging specialist. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're chatting about breast cancer detection care. We're going to unpack some of the myths and some of the treatment options that are available. Doc, just before we went to ad break, Doctor, we were chatting about available scanning testing in South Africa for our population, and you were saying that we don't have enough done, and even if we did, we wouldn't have the facilities to treat. And it's absolutely heartbreaking to hear this. What options are available to women who aren't in a financial position to get the testing and screening that they need?
So first of all, let's just unpack that. Mm-hmm. So our private healthcare is superb.
Yes.
And it really is world class, and it's in line with all first world countries. So unfortunately for the greater South Africa, mm-hmm. the private healthcare is okay. All right.
Yes.
It's the public facilities that we have a problem with. Unfortunately, there aren't enough facilities to do screening for women. And so most of the time when a woman gets diagnosed in the public healthcare sector, the cancer is already much more advanced at a higher stage. There are facilities, so most clinics, well, not most, but there are certain clinics, I can't tell you exactly mm-hmm. which ones there would be, but there are clinics that offer mammography screening, but not enough, and not with a national footprint as to what we would need.
Right, sure. So this is something that does need to get quite a bit of public attention and action on.
100%.
Yeah. If we go to some of the questions from our listeners, we have our first question. Morning, is it true the older you get, the less risk of breast cancer?
No, it's not true. So women in their 40s, 50s are at the highest risk of their life. So they say that 1 in 6 breast cancers occur in the ages of women between the ages of 40 and 49. Right. But after that, the risk is still very high. And we recommend annual screening until the age of 75. After the age of 75, there is a decrease at that stage to the incidence of breast cancer. But between the age of 40 and 75, the risk is still 1 in 8.
Okay. And so that is something that needs to be taken into account and still do your annual screening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another question. From a listener, isn't chemo better than cutting?
It's a complex question. Mm-hmm. So both are used together, or they can be used interchange. You cannot compare the effects of chemo and surgery. The surgery would be definitive.
Yes.
Chemotherapy is necessary for certain types of cancers, depending on the DNA, and it also depends on what stage it is. So if the cancer is localized in the breast versus when it has already started to spread, and one needs to target those cancer cells that have now gone systemic, have gone into the rest of the body,
right,
then definitely chemo is needed in that setting, but not necessarily if it's a localized cancer, and depending obviously on the type of cancer, it may not necessarily need chemo. And I just want to highlight that because women are so afraid of chemo, and they hear it and they think of all the terrible things that are associated with chemotherapy, and so they almost feel like, okay, I'd rather not know than have to go through that. Sure. And I really just want to first of all say that chemotherapy has advanced in leaps and bounds, and so it is a lot milder, it has less side effects, and we also know how to treat them so much better. But also the earlier you you find your breast cancer, then hopefully, depending on the cancer, you won't actually even need chemotherapy and surgery may just be definitive.
Right. I think sort of growing up in the 70s as a kid and in the 80s, and you hear things that you don't ever want to have surgery on a cancer because if you cut, you spread it.
Mm.
What are some of the other myths around breast cancer and the misconceptions?
Oh, yes. No, I get that a lot. Even as much as biopsies. So some women are afraid of actually having a needle biopsy because they're afraid that that will disseminate the cancer cells. And there's been absolutely no evidence of that scientifically, that there is any truth to that. Another big one, and this is such a dangerous one, is women believe that the radiation from mammography can cause breast cancer. That is, again, not true. And multiple scientific long-term studies over 30, 40 years have shown that that is not the case.
Right.
The other myth is that that compressing of the breast. Now, remember, unfortunately, that is what is required. When you do a mammogram, you compress the breast and you image it with plates, and it's a mild compression. But there's this this notion that it squeezes the breast, it hurts you, and that also can disseminate cancer. And again, that is not true. The compression is mild. In certain centers, you know, you can even allow the patient herself to, compress it as best as she can, as much as she can, so that she's not in pain. And it is just a misconception completely. There are other myths about deodorants and about wearing bras or not wearing bras. Again, none of these have been proven scientifically.
Right. You sort of wonder where most of these misconceptions come from. If we could walk through the process of the scan, what is required? How long does it take? What is the process?
So generally, in this day and age, we prefer to use what is known as a tomosynthesis machine. And that is a three-dimensional mammogram. And I bring this up to your attention and to everyone's attention is because this is really the newest, most advanced way of looking through breast tissue. And many facilities have them, not all facilities have them. So I do urge your listeners to look out for that and to find out whether the facility they're going to has it, because that also increases the sensitivity of the doctor that's interpreting the scan and detecting it.
Right. And that's something what they can, sorry to interrupt. Yeah? That's something they can request from their GP or when they're going to book.
Women, when they go to whichever facility is offering the mammography, they should ask there whether there is three-dimensional or tomosynthesis, what it's called, and that's the optimum. That's your first class type of mammogram that you would get. So essentially, a woman would come in. She would answer a few questions, and then we would proceed with the mammogram. The mammogram is an X-ray machine, so it's a similar type of X-ray to what we get when we have a chest X-ray or any other part of the body that gets X-rayed, but it focuses on the breast. So the radiation is a very mild dose because it's just the breast tissue that it's looking at, and it's confined to the breast, so it's not scattered all over the body.
Right.
And the woman gets her breast imaged. And then in our setting, in my practice, we always review the mammogram, and then we would most of the time offer an ultrasound examination as well. And then ultrasound just allows us to look through the tissue, and it increases the detection sensitivity. And that's really what we want to do. So in my practice, where, you know, that is all we do, is we are looking for early breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Most of the time we would do an ultrasound on top of the mammogram at the same time, at the same appointment, to look through the tissue and just increase the sensitivity of that. All of this should take about 15 minutes all in all, from coming in to walking out of the practice, depending obviously on waiting times and other patients, etc.
Right. For someone coming in for the first time, or if someone's nervous, can they bring someone in to support them, to be
Absolutely.
With them?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. No, we encourage that. And what I like is that we have groups of women that come in together, and they all have their, you know, yearly annual tea party where they come in and they have their mammograms, and then they go and have their coffee or their glass of champagne afterwards.
That's awesome.
You know, and yeah.
Is it advisable to keep going to the same practice where there's a record
Yes.
of previous scans that can be compared?
Yeah, that's very important. So we do compare every year that a woman has her mammogram, we compare the images to the previous year's images. And we go all the way back, as far back as we can. We compare useful changes mm-hmm. and for real small architectural changes that occur in the breast tissue that only can be really identified if we've got previous images. So it is advised to go to the same practice. But if you are not going to the same practice for whatever reason, you should get a disc with the images from your previous mammogram and take that with you to your next appointment so that the radiologist there can then upload them and compare the images.
Okay.
So very important, yes.
The comparison is just as important as getting the scan done.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
We have a couple of few more comments from our listeners. Firstly, from Carol Z. It's quite a long one. I'm going to read this. Angel Professor Dr. Carol and Ben, together with her team, has just taken me through all of the above spoken about treatments. I cannot praise them enough. And strange as it may seem, this illness and my personal journey has enriched my entire life. What a beautiful message from Carol.
Beautiful.
Yeah. How do you find you develop a closer connection with your patients, and that it's helpful again from going to the same practitioner where there's deeper trust and comfort built?
Oh, absolutely. And I really, this is what I love about this this part of my discipline is that I do see the woman year after year. So that initial diagnosis is scary and it's frightening and it's traumatic. And we really try and ease that experience for the patient, and we try and facilitate the whole process. So when you come to our practice and we diagnose you with breast cancer, we'll make sure you go to the right facilities, the right doctors, and the breast specialists. And then we have a multidisciplinary team approach as well to all patients. And then what's beautiful about it is that I see these women year after year mm-hmm. after year. And I've been in this practice for 10 years now. And it's just wonderful to see my patients coming in every year, happy and smiling, and living a good, healthy life. So yes, it's very rewarding for me, I must say.
Fantastic. Another question on that, where there is fear around not knowing, where unfortunately there is a perception amongst some people that I'd rather not know. Have you
yeah.
had patients like that who have really not wanted to know, but having come in, the peace of mind that they get from meeting the team, working with you, having the screen, puts all of that fear at ease?
On a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So most women that walk into these rooms are anxious. They are fearful. They are scared. This isn't one of those doctor appointments where you're going to, you know, hear the heartbeat of your baby. You're
yes.
here to find out whether you've got a cancer or whether you don't have a cancer. So yes, we have that on a daily basis, that women do come here. They are so fearful, they are so scared, they are so anxious. And we really try and provide that comfort to the woman. And yes, most of the time they walk out of here with that knowledge and that power that, you know, they are clear. At least for another year. And if there is something, and we've diagnosed it early, again, you know, we just have to reiterate how important that is, because mm-hmm. then the woman will have longevity. She will live a happy, healthy life by virtue of the fact that it was diagnosed early.
Right. So don't let that fear of the unknown stop you from exercising self-love and self-care.
Please, please, yes, 100%.
We have a question from another Carol. It's my two favorite Carols on the radio station. Where would this cancer come from? Have they not found out what and where this cancer would come from? Food, the pill, and so on, from Carol.
Oh, unfortunately not. I think that if we knew exactly what caused cancer in general, any type of cancer, yes, then we would be able to find a cure for it already. And I think that's what we are working for and working towards. But we don't know exactly what causes it. We know that there are things that can predispose you to breast cancer, particularly genetics. So women that have a family history of breast cancer are at a higher risk of developing breast cancer. Women of Ashkenazi descent also have an increased risk of breast cancer. And then depending on the type of breast tissue you have, there've been many studies showing that particular types of breast tissue, what we call dense breasts, can also increase your risk of developing breast cancer. Things like a healthy lifestyle is, of course, important, yes, in prevention of all types of cancer. So smoking, alcohol, eating healthy fruits and vegetables. Exercise has actually been proven to decrease your risk of breast cancer by 20%. So exercise and physical health is very important.
Sorry, I'd love to touch on that point. We're just going to go to an ad break, and I've got a wonderful, wonderful story to share with you as well, Doc, after this.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday here live on 101.9 High FM. We are chatting with Dr. Liat Malik, healthcare practitioner specializing as a radiologist and as a breast imaging specialist. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're talking breast cancer. We've covered the topics such as why testing is vital, what the testing process is like, and we're going to chat now a little bit about what you can do in terms of your lifestyle to prevent or reduce, not prevent, reduce your chances of developing breast cancer. Doc, before we went to the break, you were talking about exercise and some of the healthier lifestyle things that we can do in order to reduce our risks.
Yes.
So I have a wonderful, wonderful story for you. We have the Commonwealth Powerlifting Championships and the World Masters Powerlifting Championships taking place next month in Sun City, South Africa. And I've been fortunate enough to chat to some of the athletes that are coming out. And I won't mention her name, but she's a 65-year-old grandmother of two from Australia. And she's a competitive powerlifter. She was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she had a single mastectomy. And within a couple of weeks, she was back at training. So she's been a competitive athlete and involved in fitness her whole life. But within several weeks after the surgery, she competed in the Asia Powerlifting Championships. And she squatted 140 kilos, which was equal to the world record. And she's coming out to South Africa again now to represent Australia in the World Masters Championships.
That's great. I love that. Yes. So
proper.
Absolutely. Yeah,
proper strong.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just, you know, shows that, you know, once this is diagnosed and treated, we can continue on living our lives,
yes,
like we did before, really.
In your experience with early detection and treatment, how quickly are people getting back to their normal lives? And how important is a healthy lifestyle before that a contributing factor to getting back to normal life as soon as possible?
So I think that varies. And some women you know, will bounce back quite quickly. And some women, it will take a bigger toll on them. I think a lot of it is an interplay between their prior general health and wellness, and between their anxiety and the way that they deal with stressful situations. So I think that, you know, you get the patients that really struggle to get back, but majority of them with the new types of treatments that are available, they do bounce back within months, maybe a few years, maybe right. Years is too long, back to their lives. Absolutely. Okay. Look, every time I see those patients, there's still that anxiety when they come for their follow-up scans, because one needs to continue coming for mammograms. So finding a breast cancer once actually increases your risk of developing another breast cancer or a recurrence. So women that have had breast cancer still need to come for their annual mammograms, and we would even increase their screening to include MRIs, etc. And so, yeah.
Then how valuable have the support groups been in terms of helping survivors?
I think that there are a lot of support groups, and they are extremely valuable for patients and for women to just discuss what they've gone through in their journeys, to share their stories. So we do see quite a lot of support groups that have popped up. I've got a few patients that have written incredible books and memoirs of their journey, and they're inspirational. And I really do feel that part of the diagnosis and the treatment should involve some kind of support for the patient herself, for her family, whether it's just emotional support or with a group, like you say, a support group where women can discuss all these issues and, you know, share tidbits and advice with one another as to what's helped them. I think it's a great setting. Yeah.
Are there any lifestyle habits? I know we've touched on smoking, that should be avoided or reduced to reduce the risk?
Well, yes. So smoking, a good healthy diet, obviously, you know, eating healthy foods is important, although it hasn't scientifically been proven that what types of foods decreases the risk, but a general healthy lifestyle. Stress is also a big factor. Yeah. So with our stressful environments and work stresses, and, you know, just being a woman in this day and age is extremely stressful. And there have been studies that have shown that stress can increase the risk of breast cancer. So doing anything that we can do, whatever suits the woman particularly, you know, in particular, to reduce the stress, that really does help. Exercise, as I've mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Any particular forms of exercise or, you know, strength training, cardio, endurance, just a mix of all of the above.
And of course, I mean, I have to say that yoga, mm-hmm. Meditation,
yes.
Pilates, those forms of exercise can also reduce stress as well. So I think any form of exercise is great.
Yeah. I think touching on that, the yoga, the Pilates, where there's a community around you, just things that enable you to be a little bit more mindful can definitely help reduce the stress.
Absolutely.
For survivors, is there anything that should be avoided?
No, smoking, mm-hmm. Alcohol, but otherwise, no, there isn't anything that has been scientifically proven that, you know, can reduce the risk of another breast cancer developing or a recurrence.
Right.
One of the things that, depending on the type of breast cancer that the woman may have had, then hormone antagonists or hormone blockers may be needed for a certain period of time. So that is also something that can be looked at, yeah.
Okay. So, Doc, we're just going to go to another ad break and we're going to wrap up the show. If there's anything that you would like to share further, if we could chat about it after the ad break.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday morning, and you've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I'm chatting with Dr. Liat Malik. She is a healthcare practitioner specializing as a radiologist and as a breast imaging specialist. We've been chatting about breast cancer as October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Doc, as we wrap up the show, is there anything else that you would like to share or want to talk about?
I feel like we just need to touch briefly on male breast cancer because we've just been commenting about women. Mm-hmm. But 1% of breast cancers occur in men. So it's important, and especially in our Ashkenazi population, to know or for men to know that they also are at risk. And that they should also, now there is no screening for men, but they need to feel their chest wall, their breasts, and if there's ever any abnormalities there, they should actually go and see their doctor and healthcare professional to check that out. So okay. I just wanted to touch on that. But otherwise, I think that women need to know what their own risk factors are that increase their risk of developing breast cancer. Know that from the age of 40, the international guidelines recommend annual mammograms until the age of 75. And then after 75, we recommend women have mammograms every 2 years. So it doesn't just end there. And to, yeah, just to be aware.
And I think the one point that is so valuable is don't let your fear of finding out if something is potentially wrong stop you from going and getting your screening and your testing.
Absolutely. So I think, couldn't agree more.
Because where we are in terms of medical science, medical treatment in this day and age, a diagnosis is not fatal.
Absolutely. Okay. Oh. Absolutely. I had a wonderful patient the other day that I filmed actually, and she was saying that early detection was her cure. Sure. And really that is exactly how I wish for women to see it. Early detection is your cure.
And I think for those, if you have a partner who's a little bit anxious and scared, it's your responsibility to make sure that they do get their testing and treatment. Testing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Dr. Liat Malik, thank you so much for talking to us. We greatly appreciate your time and for what you've shared.
Thank you so much for bringing this to everyone's attention. Thank you.
Absolutely. I thank my awesome producer, Sina, because the Today show was her choice, and we're very grateful to her for that. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, I'm only supposed to be talking to one listener at a time. You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for being part of the show. Please go and get your screening done. Go and get your checks done. You deserve to know. And I think you'll agree with me from speaking to our fantastic guest that the processes and the treatment are there. They are not terrifying. They might be scary, but please go and get your screening done.